Hey, Cap fans, it's Rick here, and we don't want to confuse anybody, but this particular episode was recorded weeks before it actually is hitting the air. And so there's a discussion to talk about what we're going to do for this year's March Madness. Bob had the idea, instead of doing artists or writers, to do covers. So hopefully, if you've been following on the Captain America Comic Book Fans Facebook group, you've been seeing that we have indeed been doing for March Madness, or Cap Madness, as we like to call it, our favorite covers. So be sure to, if you haven't already, go onto the Facebook page every day at noon Eastern time. We're going to have new choices for you to make, whether cover A or cover B, and who's going to advance in the bracket. So ultimately, it's up to you on which cover ends up being the favorite Captain America cover. Hopefully that clears a few things up. Now, back to the show. Greetings, Cap fans, and welcome to episode 75 of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. I am your host, Rick Verbanis, and as always, I'm joined by the best gosh darn co-host out there. Hey, that's Mr. Bob Lucius. Hey, Bob. Oh, what's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
You went way back in the Wayback Machine for that one.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. What year do you think that?
I'm guessing 1965.
Well, that would be a great guess, Bob, because you're finally starting to catch on. It has something, a little something to do with the issue that we're covering today, which is Spider-Man 62 and 64, which happened to be out in 1965. So talking about that, I was looking at 1965, the top grossing movies. And Bob, so what do you think was the number two grossing movie of 1965?
Well, I would say Thunderball, Rick, but...
No, Thunderball is number three.
I know, good guess. I was going to say Thunderball, but could it have been What's New, Pussycat?
No, Bob, it was Dr. Zhivago. What's New, Pussycat was number eight.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes. So, wanted to tie that in, and it's a fun little song.
Isn't that like a five-hour movie, Dr. Zhivago?
Oh yeah,
Omar Sharif. That's Omar Sharif, right? Wasn't
that was My Sharona? What? That was something else. I don't know. All right, hey, you know what? Let's go through the top eight grossing movies of 1965. Yeah. Ready?
I bet that'll be interesting.
Number one, Sound of Music. Number two, Dr. Zhivago. Three, Thunderball, as we mentioned. Four is Those Magnificent Men in Their Flying. Okay. Number five, That Darn Cat.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Here's a good one for you. Number six, The Great Race. And then number seven, Cat Ballou.
What? I've never even heard of that one.
I'm just reading a list. Oh, well, okay, then. Yeah, eight's What's New, Pussycat. Nine, Shenandoah. And 10, Von Ryan's Express.
Oh, that was a good one.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, that was like one of those military films.
Yeah. You know what? You know what? Number 11, though. Here we go. Our Man Flint.
Oh, man of that right there.
Yeah.
That was a classic.
Yes, definitely. So, yeah. Anyway, that's your 1965 lesson right there.
A lot of controversy over that. Did you know? I happen to think that Our Man Flint was pretty influential on the Steranko tank take on Nick Fury. I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that.
Just a lot of Steranko fans don't like to hear that, you know, because I think everything came from this fount of wisdom. But I don't know. Man, that Our Man Flint and the sequels, I think, very influential.
What is up with the people that, listen, Jim Steranko was brilliant.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. I'm not taking anything away from him. But it blows my mind when people are like, oh, he's one of the best Captain America artists ever. He did 3 issues.
Right. Yeah.
There's been over, 600 comics. He's done 3. As brilliant as he is, I can't claim him to be one of the best Captain America artists.
Yeah.
But one of the most influential artists out there. Absolutely, he's a legend.
Yeah. And I think, his contributions to Nick Fury, again, it was only obviously he did a lot of Strange Tale issues. And then, mm-hmm. I don't know, it was like 6 issues or so with the Nick Fury series. It just, the art was groundbreaking, right? And, mm-hmm. but you're right, 3 issues for Cap and a lot of, quite frankly, what he did had been done. He'd done already in the Nick Fury work. It adds to the body, man, and it's interesting. But yeah, it's hard to, like, 3 issues, man. It's hard to pit that against some of the bodies of work of many other creative teams.
Yeah, yeah, and coming up, it's going to be March Madness, right? I mean, we're recording this in February, but this is going to be in the middle of March, so we got to get our butts together and come up with a new March Madness.
That's right. Yeah. It was very popular last year.
Yeah. It was a lot of work. I don't know if I have that kind of bandwidth right now.
Right.
But if we did do it, I mean, we could do writers this time around, or we could do artists again. And then I got some grief last year from some people saying, well, how can you have these two going up against each other? They're like the greats. Mm-hmm. And then, it pains me to knock them out. And I get it. I just did it alphabetically.
Yeah.
But now, because we have rankings from last year, I can do what a traditional seed list would be.
Yeah.
And go from there.
I don't know. I think it'd be fun to do something different, though. I mean, we did artists. Might be fun to do, writers. Might be fun to do covers. Who knows? Like, who knows? I don't know. Sky's the limit, buddy.
It really is. So you let me know. You do the research. You come up with 64. No, we're going to do 32. I think we started with 32.
All right.
You come up with 32 writers or 32 covers.
All right. I can do covers, man. I got my list of 32 favorite covers.
Oh, yeah.
I got 32 favorite flavors. So I'm like Baskin Robbins, buddy.
All right. All right. There is absolutely no guarantee that any of this is going to happen, folks. We're just spitballing here.
But, I will tell you that we'll run into the same issue, though, right? Because there is the nostalgia factor.
Mm-hmm.
And covers are just as susceptible as writers or artists, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to get away from that. It's hard to be objective.
People vote for their favorites from their childhood, typically.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about the bet, Bob. Where are we at here? Now we're a little recording out of order here, so we're just going to go with what our current weight is, and so, Bob, do you have a new song in case you win and I have to sing, because that's the wager, right?
Yeah.
We're both trying to lose 10 pounds. First person to lose 10 pounds gets the other person to sing a song of their choice.
Mm-hmm.
30 seconds. We're not going to kill the listeners. Bob, what you got?
Yes. I'm thinking, you mean a song?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Foreigner. I Want to Know What Love Is.
Ah.
Yeah.
You want to hear me sing? I Don't Know What Love Is. All right.
Yeah.
I can do that. I can do
want
that.
You to show me.
Yes. I can do that.
Oh, it's a classic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. There's so many different choices this time around. But again, I was going with the theme of the episode, 1965.
Ooh,
so I was looking at 1965 songs. Yeah. And I got to tell you, most of the ones I'm going through from like the top 100 singles of 1965, they're all great songs.
Yeah.
I don't want you to sing like, I don't know. I can't get no satisfaction.
Oh, yeah.
Or you've lost that loving feeling.
Ooh,
downtown.
Yeah.
My girl, help me, Rhonda.
Oh,
King of the
gosh.
Road. You know,
classics. Yeah.
You know, this is a great song. This
the
is a great song.
I did. Yeah.
But I was thinking maybe you could sing this.
Let me go until you show me, told me. Oh, yeah. Is that Johnny Mathis? Who is that?
Mel Carter.
Mel Carter.
Huh. Mel Carter.
Interesting.
Which I always thought that she was large black lady in the 80s sitcom. I
think that's Nell Carter.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mel Carter, I think he opened up a diner on Happy Days, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that would be Arnold.
Mel's Diner, huh?
No,
the hell
Arnold.
Is that?
Mel's, yeah. Mel's Diner was the show, TV show called Diner.
Oh, was it?
Maybe.
Oh, hell. I don't know. I don't go out much.
Yeah, it was, oh God, that was in the 70s, late 70s, maybe early 80s. And, yeah, it had the three waitresses.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
And Mel was
kiss my grits.
Exactly. I was just about to do that.
Whoa.
Right. Right.
Right.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And that wasn't that Mel's Diner?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, no. Happy Days, that was Arnold.
Arnold's Diner, yeah.
Right. And in fact, they had two different Arnolds, right?
They did.
They had Pat, what's his
Marita.
Name?
Marita.
Pat
Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah. He was the original.
Uh-huh.
And then he left the series. And then they brought in the Italian guy.
Yeah.
Right. And he was on the show probably the longest.
Yeah, he was yeah. definitely on the longest. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. But I digress. All right. So all right, so where are you at, Bob? Since start to now,
yeah.
how much have you lost?
Oh gosh. It's been you always challenge me with the math, man. I just know what the current is. So I think it's been, I'm like halfway there still, like 5 pounds, right? It's like 202 point. It's a little shade over, it's like 4.9 pounds, I think.
4.9?
Yeah.
All right. I'm at 4.2.
Okay. Well, you're catching up, buddy.
I am catching up. Last time we weighed in, I was at 3.5. Now I'm at 4.2. I'm catching up, Bob.
But you're screwed though, man, because my rower gets here on Friday. So I'm rowing all weekend, buddy. Row, row, row. Yep. And I picked up the prescription for my colonoscopy. And I'm going to I'm doing it early. And then I'm just going to tell them I lost the prescription. So they got to give me a new one for the actual procedure.
Oh gosh. That's cheating. You're totally cheating.
I don't care.
That's you're not losing fat there. You're not getting. That's not the 10 pounds you were hoping to lose.
Well, whatever, man. 10 pounds is 10 pounds.
It's like, I'm going to cut off my foot. There, yeah. I won. You know, that's not the 10 pounds you're trying to lose, Bob.
Okay, well, do what you got to do, man.
Oh, boy. All right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
That being said... maybe we should just get into the comics. So we're covering today Tales of Suspense, going to 1965, as you mentioned, and we're going with issue 62. Now you may say, okay, what is about issue 62? Well, it is the Captain America story called Breakout in Cell Block 10. And the it's basically the story that Al Milgrom based the sequel Captain America 260 on, which was the prison reform issue that we covered in 72. And since we covered that and speaking with Al Milgrom, we figured, hey, let's cover this. It's always fun to go back to Tales of Suspense, and this is a good one. And then we thought, well, you know, it's only 10 pages, so we might as well do another one. And I got shot down on 63. Bob said, no, the origin issue, we got to do another time. And I respect that. So we're going to do 64, which is the Sando and Omar story. And I got a little backstory on that, Bob.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. That sounds good. This is, I mean, this, I think it's really cool to like go back and do this story from issue 62, the cell block 10 story, because it really was integral to what we had just covered. And it's timely too, right? I mean, there's history behind this one as well, just as there was history, I think, behind Al Milgrom's prison reform story. So I love comic book stories that sort of tap into what's going on in society at the time and then use that as a launching pad for good storytelling.
Yep, I agree. All right, so we're looking at the cover to issue 62. And, you know, Bob, what's kind of cool about these covers from 1965, they try to pack a lot on the covers. Mm-hmm. And there's often, you know, going to be word balloons or thought balloons, but most of the time there's going to be like these big starbursts and things like that that have titles and some sort of marketing on there. And this one is not shy. So it says Tales of Suspense featuring Iron Man and Captain America. And as I mentioned before, when we cover Tales of Suspense stories, it kind of flips back and forth. We'll sometimes we'll say Captain America and Iron Man. And then the logo corner box will flip back and forth too. So we have a Captain America full body and then like an Iron Man, like upper torso, kind of like waist up. And 12 cents, Bob, 12 cents.
This thrills me every time I see that, right? 12 cents.
And approved by the Comics Code Authority.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you know that's quality.
That's true. So this particular issue is, a little kind of a key issue, not because of the story of Captain America, but because of the Iron Man. It's the origin of the Mandarin. So we see that character with his multi rings coming out of a looks like the Great Wall of China. Or as I like to call it, the pretty big wall of China. And then there's Iron Man kind of cowering from him. And then there's kind of like a split screen, right? And then the lower half is Captain America, and he's using his shield to open up some prison bars. And then the other side looks like a bunch of prisoners, angry prisoners with weapons. And it says, all new thrills with two of America's greatest Avengers. So we will, of course, skip the Iron Man story and break right to the second half of the book. And that is Captain America, Breakout in Cell Block 10. And it reads, remember Ish 60 when Cap thought he was giving a physical fitness demonstration and didn't suspect he was really fighting a bunch of assassins? Well, some guys always learn the hard way. Here he is again demonstrating his prowess to an official of state penitentiary. Or so he thinks. And we get Cap in the warden's office, and he is jumping over the desk and, in full garb, and he's got a shield in his left hand, and there's somebody shooting at him. And he's thinking to himself, oh, I'm sorry, Bob. You know what I forgot to do?
You just blew off the creative team.
I really did. I never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hope Stan Lee and Jack Kirby can forgive me.
And Chick Stone.
I'm getting there, Bob. So the creators at the bottom of it does say, pow, script, Stan Lee. Wham, art, Jack Kirby. Zowie, inking, Chick Stone. Oh, lettering, Art Simic. Featuring Cap's own brand of galvanized action, Nuff said. And Cap's thinking to himself, I wonder why they asked me to demonstrate how I would defend myself if the prisoners escaped and attacked me. Oh, well, they must have their reasons. And he goes underneath one guy's legs and bounces through as he balls himself up with his shield. Where is he? Where'd he go? If you were shooting real bullets instead of blanks, I'd try to elude you like this. There he is, Rocky, behind you. I'll try to get this over with quickly so that no one gets hurt. I'm still anxious to learn the reason I was asked to come here and do this. And then these, after he knocks down and knocks out all of the prisoners, these armed guards come in with their weapons. He put those guys away like they were nothing. I guess that wraps it up, sir, unless there's something else. And there's a short, bald man with like white hair on his temples, smoking a cigarette in a green dressed pinstripe suit. And he says, no, that does it. You were indeed as good as your reputation, young man. And now before I leave, you said you explained why you hoped to accomplish by this little demonstration. Ah, yes. So I did. So I did. By the way, if I didn't know better, I'd swear these guns have been firing live ammo. Well, of course, we do know better, don't we? And now, if you'll come with me, Captain America. Next page, he's walking down the middle of the corridor of these, of the jail cells. And there's some armed guards at the end where he's walking toward. The explanation you seek is waiting for you here in cell block 10. I've heard of cell block 10. It's where your most dangerous convicts are kept under maximum security condition. You are very well informed on such matters. That is precisely correct. And he keeps looking at some of the guards who look a little, not very clean shaven. I know that this job requires really rugged guards, but these fellas somehow look too brutal. And then all of a sudden, the doors to all the jail cells open up, and dozen of prisoners start ganging around him. There he is now. About time. We thought we'd never get here. They aren't locked in? Is this some sort of trick? But how? Why? Hey, look, guys, I think Sonny Boy is getting suspicious. Well, what do you know? There ain't no flies on him. I guess they're referring to he doesn't smell. What do you think?
I think that means, I don't know. Ain't no flies on him. I guess he moves pretty quick. Flies can't land on him. He's,
I don't know, but he's standing still.
Yeah, I think they meant like mentally.
Okay. And then the man in the green pinstripe suit says, as you can now guess, Captain America, I am not a genuine prison official. And then before Cap can make a move, grab him fast. Don't give him a chance to get into action. Relax, Blackie. There ain't anything he could do anyway. Even Captain America can't beat us all. And then they get the shield and give it to Deacon. Good work, boys. We've got what we're after. This shield of his will be our ticket out of here. So what do we do next, Deacon? Put him in the cell with the real deputy superintendent. Now that we have his shield, he's no good to us anymore. Don't just stand there. Give us a hand. He's like a tiger. Hold him. Don't let him get away. It ain't easy. There's only about a dozen of us. And they throw him into a cell. No sense trying to resist now. I'll wait till I learn more about their plan. Phew, quick, slam the door on him. Captain America, I'm Acting Superintendent Carlson. I wish I could have warned you. Don't worry about that, sir. Suppose you'll fill me in on what's happening here? The Khans managed to overpower a guard, take his keys, and get control of sub-block 10. But they can't break through the main gate to freedom. They're keeping me in here as hostage till they find a way. I see. And they must think my shield has some special power which may help them? You're in a tough spot, Cap. And I feel responsible. Those men are desperate. They'll stop at nothing. Don't worry, Mr. Carlson. I've been in tough spots before. You might even say, I thrive on them. Meanwhile, follow me, boys. With this shield in our possession, nothing can stop us. And there he is. He's leading them down a corridor, the dozen armed convicts. You tell them, Deacon. And then they come up on this gigantic iron door, magnetic door, which we saw reprised in issue 260. That one last iron gate, barring our way to freedom, operates magnetically. And so does this shield of ours. We'll use it as our key. Well, we ain't going to get out by talking about it. Let's go, Deacon. Do something. Don't rush me, boys. All I have to do is angle it in the right way and... What's wrong? Why ain't something happening? You ain't trying to cross us now, are you, Deacon? No, you fools. Of course not. I don't understand. There seems to be no magnetic impulses in the shield.
Is this your idea of a joke, Baldy?
Everyone knows that his fellow Avenger Iron Man designed magnetic powers into the shield for Captain America. So where are they? And then we cut to Cap. He's out of his cell, Bob, and he's jumping over all of the convicts.
Why don't you ask me that question?
It's him again.
It's impossible. Nobody could have busted out of that cell.
We can't take any more chances. Stop him.
Don't worry, Deacon. This will stop anything. And one of the fake guards starts firing his weapons. It's like a machine gun. You can see the bullet casings flying. What sound do you think it's making, Bob?
Ping, 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 ping.
And Cap's ducking. Take it easy with that gun, fella. If you stole it from the weapons room, it's government property. You're wasting the taxpayers' bullets. Aw, Cap's very thoughtful.
Yes, that's you know, thrifty.
What's the matter with you guys? Why doesn't somebody nail them? It isn't for lack of trying, that's for sure. I'll take that chopper now. And he grabs a machine gun out of one of the fake guard's hands and hits him in the head with the other. Whoop. And then Deacon's making a run for it with the shield. He sees me running off with the shield. I mustn't let him get it back. It's our only hope of escape.
You'd never shoot an unarmed man.
True, Deacon, but that doesn't mean I'll let you keep my shield. So Cap throws a machine gun at Deacon's legs, which make him fall. And then as Deacon's falling, he's dropping the shield. Cap's jumping over him to grab the shield. Not when I could stop you so easily. And now I'll show you what the shield can really do. In the right hands, of course.
If we don't get that back, we can't escape. Hit him with everything you've got. It's our last chance. Get Captain America.
And they do. They start firing. There's several of them firing their guns at him. And he's up, got his back up against the magnetic wall. But he's got his shield up and he's deflecting them. And I like the fact that some of the bullets are flying around him. They're not all on the shield.
Right. Yeah.
It always bothers me.
Yeah, it's like
every
magnet.
Single bullet yeah. is hitting the shield and nothing's going around them. You jokers don't know how wrong you are. I threw away all of Iron Man's magnetic gimmicks. They ruined my shield's delicate balance. And it needs perfect balance so that I can handle it like this. And there's a nice image of Cap leaning forward. He's on his right leg. His left leg is extended behind him. And his left arm is circling back behind and across his chest as he's hurling his shield. It's a great image. And then the next image is just a bunch of hats and boots and guns flying. So now that we all understand each other, I'll help you all get back to your cells and we'll call it a day.
Oh, no, you don't.
These blasters still make us the boss, and we say you're lying.
That blam shield of his has its magnetic power, and you're going to use it to get us out of here.
You boys sure need a lot of convincing. Okay, in so much you're calling the tune, I'll use it all right. And he steps on his shield, flipping it into the air, and then he kicks it into the group of men. But I'll use it my way. And then apparently they throw the shield back because it's coming right back at him, which doesn't make any sense because they wanted the shield for the magnetic powers. Why would they throw it back at him? And he said, and they two can play at that game, mister. Here it is right back at you. That'll knock the fight out of him. But he ducks Bob and he ducks. He makes almost like a table. He's doing
a limbo.
You know, he's doing it from the Matrix.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Where Neo leans back and the bullets all go over him.
Yeah.
He's doing that, but instead the shield goes over him and it hits the wall and it makes a big noise, Bob.
Dang.
He ducked under it. Quick, Thumper. Get him while he's off balance.
So here we got Thumper. Right? So Thumper, had a big role in issue 260, this is his first appearance. He's a big, tall, white guy, bald, burly.
All right, wise guy, you can forget the tricky stuff now. I'm going to put you to sleep with one sock. They don't call me Thumper for nothing. I've heard of you, the man with the fist of steel. But I'm no weakling myself. And then there are two punches hit each other, making a huge noise.
It
ain't possible. Nobody could punch as hard as me. My hands are twice your size, but you almost busted my fingers.
Someday you hardheads will realize that strength isn't everything. There's also timing and leverage and pressure points. But this is hardly the place for a lecture.
Come on, we'll all rush him while he has his hand's still aching. It's now or never. Quick, before you can grab hold of that shield again.
And he kicks them instead. And it makes a noise, Bob.
Swat!
Look, boys, I'm getting bored with all this activity. Why don't you all go to the prison library and read a good book or something? But look, Deacon's grabbing the shield while Cap's not looking behind him. And he's taking the shield and he's about to hit Cap from behind. Doesn't the Deacon realize I can see his shadow on the wall beside me? He's just not cut out for this sort of thing. I don't want to hurt him, so I'll just lean back suddenly and show him the error of his ways. And it makes a noise.
And then, before another move can be made, don't anybody move. We got you all covered.
There's like a dozen or so guards come in with weapons.
What hit you all, guys, anyway? A hurricane?
Yeah, by the name of Captain America.
I brought help as soon as I could, Cap, but somehow I feel there was no need to rush.
Incidentally, Deacon, I was not lying. My shield no longer has any magnetic devices.
I believe you, mister, but there's one thing you've got to tell me. How did you escape after he locked you in the cell?
It was fairly simple. The trained specialist prepares for every eventuality. While you and your penitentiary pards were so eager to run off with my shield, I merely wedged a folded chewing gum wrapper between the lock and the door. So you see, it never really locked. Uh-huh.
Clever. He uses that same trick in 260 as well, didn't he? Didn't he like stick something? Oh, he had some other
little metal plate.
Yeah.
Because I don't think some chewing gum wrapper is going to stop a metal door from locking. Mm. And I want to come back to that in a minute.
Finally, after order has been completely restored, so Cap's walking with the warden.
Now then, what were all the prisoners saying about magnetic door, which they couldn't open?
It's the latest thing, Cap. It's modeled after a giant bank vault door. But what the Deacon didn't know is nothing can open it except sound. It is set to unlock at the sound of just two words.
What words are those, sir?
Captain America.
And sure enough, it opens. The end. Promise you won't miss our next CA thriller. It'll be a different type of adventure. And in Marvelland, you know what that means. So, Bob, I want to go back to the explanation of how he got out of his cell. I think this was, now listen, they were pumping out a ton of books at this time, right? And the Marvel way of doing comics was the writer would make a plot, the penciler would do it, and then the writer would do the script afterwards, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We all know that Jack Kirby was pretty involved when it came to the plot, and he would kind of come up with his own version and his own stories. And a lot of times Stan just let him go with it and then filled in, you know, some script. I got the impression reading this story that there was a couple of things that Stan had to write around to make it make sense.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he had to come up with an explanation of how Cap got out of the cell because, and I went back to that panel. They threw Cap in there and he landed, 5 feet from the door.
Right.
It wasn't like, how did he slip that in before the door closed? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like at least in issue 260, we saw him do it. Right. But in here, then he threw the shield, but then the next panel was being thrown back at him. Like that didn't make sense to me.
Right. Yeah. You're right. It's I think you're right. I mean, I think, there's some plot holes that need to be sort of filled very expeditiously. Because you only got so many panels and so many pages. Right. So, and you do the best you can, you get it done, you move on to the next story, the next book. So I think, it's also right. Who's this being written for?
Good point.
Yeah.
But it was a fun story.
It was. Yeah.
It was a fun story. And now we have a little bit more depth to the issue that Al Milgrom wrote for prison reform.
Right.
All right. Let's get to the next one. We're skipping 63, which is the origin issue. We'll come to that to another time. We're doing 64, Tales of Suspense featuring Iron Man and Captain America. And this one is another sought after issue. But again, not because of the Captain America story. In the Iron Man story, it's the return of Hawkeye and the new Black Widow. So these are very early appearances of Hawkeye and Black Widow. I want to say maybe it's the second appearance of each. Because I know Hawkeye was introduced in issue 57, and I don't know if he's been back since then. And then Black Widow a little bit before then. But this is the introduction of Black Widow's new costume. So and then you see Iron Man battling Black Widow and Hawkeye in this top portion of the panel. In the bottom half, you see in his starburst, it's Sando and Omar, two eerie enemies from Captain America's dramatic past. And it's Sando is like dressed in a suit. He's got glasses. He looks like a psychiatrist almost. And he's doing some sort of thing with his hands and make it look like he's, some sort of sorcerer with his motion. And then Omar is this, short guy, bald head with a huge head, deformed almost. And he's sitting there and he's projecting from his brain into a globe. And in the globe is Captain America and Bucky. All right. So we'll skip the Iron Man story, get right to the story where it says, "Among us, wreckers dwell." And at the top, it says Captain America and Bucky in the daring days of World War II. A tale of towering stature, told with power and passion by Stan Lee, writer, Jack Kirby, illustrator, Frank Ray, delineator, also known as inker, Sam Rosen, letterer. introducing the mind-staggering villainy of Sando and Omar. Actually, Bob, I'm going to take a little offense to that. This is not the introduction of Sando and Omar.
And most certainly it's not.
Yeah. So where did Sando and Omar first appear?
That would have been, I believe, in Captain America Comics number one. Rick.
That's right. Back in 1941, it was the second story.
Yeah.
So the first story we all know, right? That's the story where it introduces Captain America and his origin, right? And then the second story, and there was, I think, what, five or six? The second story is basically this same story. So for whatever reason, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby decide to do a version of the story. Maybe they're out of ideas. And they just needed to get something out there. I don't know. But the original story was by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby. And it was written by Joe and Jack, penciled by Joe and Jack, and then inked by Joe. So it was more heavily Joe than it was Jack, as far as I could tell. And the name of that story back in 1941 was Case Number Two. So why they decided to do this, I don't know.
And hey, things were different back then. I know I'm going to get a lot of probably guff for this, but I'm just surprised. I guess I'm not surprised, but that Stan Lee took credit for writing this story. Took all the credit for writing this story. When in fact, it's a sort of a retelling. You know, they changed the dialogue, they changed some of the panels, but essentially it's almost a retelling of that second story from Captain America Comics number one, for which Stan wasn't involved in at all.
Right. And I would say it was embellished. This story is embellished, right?
Okay.
Because there's different, like the first story, I don't know, it was like 6 pages. This one's 10 pages. So there's definitely some additional elements to the story. So I don't know, but let's cover it, shall we?
Sure.
So the opening splash, as I mentioned, has the big starburst Among Us Wreckers Dwell. And it is very similar to what's on the cover, except instead of Omar projecting Cap and Bucky within the globe, it's a destruction, right? There's a tank blowing up. There's a ship blowing up, but Cap and Bucky storming the stage. And then you can see the audience too. And it reads, "In the dark days of World War II, sabotage was one of the enemy's most insidious weapons. And now that we've had our say, let's really get rolling. War clouds loom dark and dangerous over Europe. Poland has been invaded. The Nazi juggernaut is starting to roll. But America is still at peace, though not for very much longer." And it's nighttime. We're in the city. Looks like New York City. And there is a theater house with the big yellow lights. And on it, it says, "Tonight on stage, the sensational duo, Sando and Omar." And there's a barker out front. "There will be a short wait for all seats." And you hear the people in the audience are lined to get in. "The whole city's talking about Sando and Omar. I can't wait to see them. They're supposed to have an incredible act." And on the stage inside, it's a packed house. And Sando, who I described before, you know, the guy in the suit and glasses, he's reaching out to the audience. "I must request absolute silence from the audience as I cause the mysterious Omar to go into a hypnotic trance. Then, when I have established complete control over his brain, you will see his amazing mental predictions projected upon our crystal ball. And now, to begin. Omar, you are my slave. I, Sando, am your master. I am master of your mind. I am master of your thoughts. Am I not, Omar? You are the master, Sando. Then I order you to project your thoughts. Let the world see your unfailing predictions of things to come. For you have the power to gaze into the future, and I have the power to reveal your thoughts in the mystic crystal ball. Project, Omar. Project! Slowly, unbelievably, a scene begins to form within the giant crystal. The image of a column of U.S. war tanks on maneuvers at Fort Lehigh. But an instant later, the startled audience in the silent theater sees the tank blowing up, Bob, and it says what? Then we cut to Steve and Bucky. And Steve's sitting on steps of a outside the barracks, and he's in his civvies, and he's peeling potatoes, Bob.
He's on KP duty.
He is. You ever been on KP duty?
No, I can't say that I have. Hmm.
Bucky's sitting next to him reading the paper. And what's the Star Post headline say, Bob?
Sando and Omar score with new prediction. Tank blows up at Fort Lehigh.
The next day at Fort Lehigh, Private Steve Rogers and regiment mascot Bucky Barnes discussed the disaster which occurred just a few hours earlier. I don't get it, Steve. How come Sando and Omar know that tank would blow up last night? I have a hunch, Bucky, and it's not good.
Rogers, is that all your yardboard like you has to do? You ain't getting paid to be a newscaster.
And so we got Sarge coming out here, and both Steve and Bucky standing at attention, and he's got Sarge got his hands on his hips, right? And he's looking all tough.
I put you on KB to peel them spuds, and I want them peeled. Stop breathing when I'm talking at you.
Yes, Sarge. No, Sarge. Sure, Sarge.
You're not only the biggest gold brick and clown in this whole dang regiment, but whoops, who left them potatoes on the blasted steps?
And Sarge has fallen, and the potatoes fell on top of him.
I guess I did, Sarge. That sinks it. You're a bigger menace than the blam Nazis. You ain't even fit for KP. Wipe that dumb looking smirk off of your kisser. Get out of here before I really lose my temper.
Sure, Sarge, if you say so.
And so, a few hours later, the two of them are standing in line paying for tickets to see Omar and Sando.
I'll bet you arranged that whole thing so you could come see the show, Steve.
Bucky, we've got to do something about that suspicious nature of yours.
I got news for you, soldier. The balcony seats are in the other direction. That's why we're going this way, youngster. I want to see Sando and Omar at close range.
They're backstage, Bob.
Look, there they are.
No, absolutely no interviews. We have nothing to say to the press.
But people are wondering how you...
No, now leave us. That is final.
I wonder if he was born with his cheery disposition or had to work hard to get it.
That gal reporter is slipping into their dressing room.
Looks like she's beating us to the punch. What do we do next, Steve?
This, Mr. Barnes.
Just what I'd hoped you'd say, Mr. Rogers. And when he's saying that, he's taking off his military fatigues, and he's underneath, he's got his Captain America uniform on. And then Bucky's putting his domino mask on his face. This panel looks really familiar, Bob.
Does it?
Yeah, it really does. I don't know if it's just if it's an homage to something else, or maybe it's just, or others have been an homage to it, but it's a very familiar looking panel.
Within seconds, the colorful world famous figures of Captain America and Bucky make a dazzling leap to an overhead complex of pipes from which they can swing effortlessly into the theater's projection room. Let's go, lad. Ally, oop.
Now, Bob, I know Cap's got the super soldier serum.
Mm-hmm.
He can make big leaps like that.
Yeah.
How's Bucky doing that?
I don't know. He's just highly trained, I guess, Rick. You know, he's an athletic lad.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Meantime, on the stage below, Sando and Omar have again begun their awesome act.
Ah, you are thinking of a bridge, the bridge which links Camp Castle Grove with the mainland. The bridge has collapsed. This will be a disaster for Camp Cosgrove, and yet there's no way to prevent it, for Omar is never wrong.
Omar looks pretty upset by all this, Bob.
He does. He does look a little perturbed.
I'd say horrified.
But in the projection room above, Captain America and Bucky come to a somewhat different conclusion.
I thought so. The acts of phony. Those aren't thoughts in the crystal ball. They're pictures projected from an accomplice up here. But why, Cap? Why only scenes of disasters?
That's what we're going to find out.
And the accomplice he's got all tied up and gagged.
Then, moving like the skilled, well-trained fighting acrobats which they are, the dazzling duo leaps over the heads of the audience as Cap reaches for the swaying curtain below.
Hang on, Bucky. This is faster than walking. And a lot more fun, too.
Look, above, it's Captain America and Bucky.
I'll go after Omar, Cap, while you tangle with Sando.
Right, lad. But first, I'll get rid of that phony crystal ball.
You dare break up my act? You'll pay for this with your lives.
Hold on, Sando. I want some explanations before you start making us pay with our lives. There's a lot more behind your crooked routine than just fooling the audience. And I'm going to find out what it is. Now get over here and start talking, mister.
And then he punches him, Bob. That seems a little over the top.
Well, that was very much Captain America and Captain America comics back in the 1940s. So
it very much was, yes.
A lot of these panels were drawn from that original story.
But suddenly, a fearful scream rings out from backstage.
What's that?
A girl's voice. She must be in deadly danger. It came from your dressing room.
Don't try to leave, Sando. There's no place you can hide where I won't find you.
But then...
Come in, masked man. We'll show you what happens to guys who rough up the boss.
We'd figured you'd come charging in here if you heard the dame scream.
The dame.
The skirt, you know.
The toots.
Cap, they said they'd shoot the girl reporter if I didn't surrender to them.
Stop struggling, lady. Sando don't like Snoop sneaking into his dressing room.
But finally, when the girl is allowed to speak, she says, I'm not a reporter. I'm a special agent for the Woman Army Corps. We're cooperating with the FBI and investigating this new wave of sabotage.
Glad to hear that, lady. We always like to know who we're going to finish off for Sando.
We can drop that Sando act now. I'm Colonel Wolfgang von Kranz, and I receive my orders directly from der Führer himself.
And he comes behind Cap with a pistol in his back. And not just any pistol, Bob. It looks like a Luger.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a German pistol, for those who don't know.
Give us the word, Herr Colonel, and Captain America dies.
It'll take more than a word, Nazi. Okay, Bucky, let's move.
And then Cap ducks, uses his shield, slangs the guy behind him, and it makes a noise, Bob.
I can't do that noise.
Why not, Bob?
I'm not even sure how that sounds. Pooey! What is that?
Pooey!
Pooey!
I don't know.
My cat's looking at me like, what the hell?
Yeah, and now the shield hitting the guy in the head, that's a wham.
Oh, yeah, that's an easy one.
Right, and then something hitting the floor was a pwang.
Pooing! Yeah, easy. Yeah.
I was hoping you'd say that, Cap. Oh, and then the lady reporter does a back kick with heels, no less, in someone's face. I'll show you that a female doesn't have to be helpless herself. Clop. I hate to do this to an agent of the master race. Somehow it seems almost disrespectful. And he punches a guy and it makes a sound, Bob.
Whack. Yeah, this is starting to sound an awful lot like a Batman TV show.
It does, doesn't it?
Episode.
Here, fellas, why don't you both tackle someone your own size? And Bucky ducks while two guys hit each other and they make a noise. Boing! Shut off that chatter gun, son. The people out front are trying to watch a show. And Bucky runs into a guy who is firing a machine gun, and that machine gun was making a noise. Boom. Keep firing. They're unarmed. We'll get them yet. You're right, Herr Colonel. And I'll start with the female. And he points his Luger at the lady. But Cap jumps in front. Not while I'm around, you won't. And he takes him and throws him. And at that point, it looks like Bucky's on his back and he's doing like a bicycle movement with his legs, spinning somebody so fast that they look like a whirlwind.
I never noticed that in the panel before.
That's like I'm watching like a cartoon.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Cap, look out. They're all after you. So I've noticed, little partner, and they're firing at a shield, and that makes a sound. Ka-ping! I'm flattered by all the attention, boys, but you're giving me an earache. And now I've got a little message for you to send to your ranting Fuhrer. He's hitting him with the shield. And now he's punching him. Tell him that free men can play pretty rough too. And just then.
That right there, Rick, that panel, you know, with the guy flying backwards after mm-hmm. Cap punches him. Mm-hmm. How many times, you know, I would love to have a coffee table book. Mm-hmm. That just has, because I've seen that sort of image, right? Done so many times in different books, different artists, Cap punching somebody and then flying back, you know, head over heels. I think it'd be cool to like see them all together.
I like that idea.
You know, that'd be kind of nifty. Set it to music.
So at this point, Sandoz, who's been laying on the ground, grabs his Luger and he starts actually doesn't even look like a Luger anymore. It looks like a revolver. He lowers his shield. I can't miss at this range. Now you die, Captain America. And he fires. But Bucky comes, pushes Cap out of the way, and in one motion also throws a four-legged stool at the man. Look out, Cap. I'll take care of that monocled murderer. Be my guest, Bucky. That was too close for comfort. And it hits him in the head. It knocks the gun out of his hand and then hits him in the head. And that makes a sound. Score one for our side, eh, Cap? I'll answer you as soon as the bells stop ringing. Say, we almost forgot about Sandoz's partner, Omar. No, Bucky. Omar was just an innocent pawn. Sandoz hired him from a freak show. He didn't realize what he was doing. Then our job here is done. It's obvious that Sandoz would first have Omar predict an act of sabotage, then his agents would go out and perpetrate it. He did it in order to cause panic among our people, to make us lose confidence in our armed forces, but he didn't know the American people. We fought side by side, yet I don't know your name. My name doesn't matter. There are many, many others like me, ready to do their share to protect this land that we love. Till we meet again, you may know me as Agent 13. Wait, why are you running off so quickly? We just remembered another appointment. Are you thinking what I'm thinking, Cap? I sure am. If we get back to Fort Lehigh after taps, there won't be enough potatoes in the country for me to peel. Yeah, lovable old Sarge Duffy will see to that. And so they're back getting their fatigues back on, and they start walking back to base. You know, Mr. Rogers, a big fellow like you shouldn't waste time doing so much KP. I don't mind, Mr. Barnes. You know how I dislike excitement. And so, two khaki-clad figures return to base, and another tale is told. Our action thriller next issue will be slightly different, slightly surprising, and slightly sensational. Be sure to be here. Mr. Rogers will be waiting for you.
Well, I just have one thing to say, Rick.
What's that, Bob?
Old Betsy Ross was a lot hotter the way she was drawn in this issue than in the original story.
Mm. You know, it's funny. I did notice on one of those panels, she looked a little different. I don't know if there was maybe some retouching done, because, you know, sometimes John Romita did some touch-ups on Jack Kirby's work.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell if that was the case, but yeah, you know, the first thing that came to my mind when I saw Agent 13, I thought, oh, Sharon Carter, right? Cause that's who Agent 13 is, Sharon Carter.
Right.
But no, you're right. It's Betsy Ross, because obviously Sharon wasn't born yet. This is during World War II. And Betsy Ross in Captain America Comics number one, that was her first appearance in that second story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And she went on, of course, to have her own career and her own future, right? With as Golden Girl and with Jeff Mace, at least in the retcon of Captain America.
Yep. So that was fun. So we went to 1965, visited a couple stories from them. And in the meantime, we also did a flashback to World War II. So that was good. It was good doing that, because we have been, you know, visiting a lot of the 80s recently. So it was good to go back to 1965. And we're just hopping around, Bob, because next episode 76, we're going to be doing back in 2022. We're going to cover issues 3 and 4 of the Captain America Iron Man miniseries. Because I don't know about you, but I've been enjoying this Derek Landy story and looking to hop back into that issues 3 and 4. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I gotta admit, I've already got a head start. I read issue 3 and it's great. And I can't wait to see issue 4.
Fantastic. All right. So we'll be come back for that in next episode 76. Well, Bob, as always, I got to say, it's been fun wrapping Cap with you.
Yeah. Thwack, bang, boom. Let's do it again.
You know it. All right. Well, that was Bob Lucius. I'm Rick Verbanas. You've been listening to another episode of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast.